Podcasts. The Funniest Frontier. These are the voyages of the Common Geeking Program. Our continuing mission? To discuss strange new domains. Compare new topics from geeky, nerdy perspectives. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Except they have, for sure.
Or where many podcasts have gone before.
I have no idea what's happening right now.
Probably better than we do. But we're gonna fucking do it anyway. It's a Star Trek special, you nerds. Welcome to the first franchise special of the Common Geeking Program. We normally have four people discuss from four different domains and relate them, almost like a book club for geek culture. But these, quote, franchise specials, unquote, will focus on single franchises, comparing different aspects or installments of storytelling universes. In anticipation for Star Trek Discovery, which will be premiering 2 days after the airing of this episode, this week we are going to be talking about all things Star Trek. What's come before, where are we now, and what else is there to come? Our summary will feature a brief rundown of the whole Star Trek franchise, and our reps have each picked an episode or a movie that they enjoyed or that is emblematic of their Star Trek experience. So, joining me in this episode are...
Hello, huh? I am Laura.
Why was that funny, Pat? What happened?
It just sounded like she was like, hello.
Hello.
I'm Laura.
What happened? So I think I've mentioned this a couple times on the podcast, but the Star Trek Next Generation is my jam. So today I will be representing Star Trek The Next Generation, and the episode that I will be focusing on is a two-parter, The Best of Both Worlds. End of season 3, beginning of season 4.
I'm Pat. I don't really watch any Star Trek whatsoever besides the movies, and when I say movies, I only mean the Kelvin movies, right? They're called the Kelvin movies?
That's correct.
See, I don't even know that they're called the Kelvin timeline.
Known to the layman as the JJ-verse, J.J. Abrams
movies.
The layman probably just know it as Star Trek. Just saying.
Fuck.
I am representing Star Trek Into Darkness because it was dank.
Our last representative is actually a guest I brought in because I needed some more... heavyweight Star Trek knowledge. It's funny because this person has a lot of muscles.
My name is Luke. I am friends with Colin. We work together and we talk
He's
about
not
Star
friends
Trek
with
a lot.
Laura, apparently.
Luke.
Oh God.
He's not friends with me, but it's funny.
Thanks, guys. This is my first time recording anything, so let's just tear me apart.
I know Luke too. Also from work.
I like to make fun of Laura for her disease.
Which is well known on the podcast. I do indeed have diabetes.
And which episode did you pick?
I picked Similitude.
Enterprise season 3, episode 10. And I'm your host, Colin Ketchin, who will be taking you through all of Star Trek. This is about to get really deep into like one specific thing, so before we lose ourselves in Star Trek, let's just talk to each other a little bit. I wanted to bring back our confession corner.
Which is my fave.
This is just a little moment where before we get started, anything maybe weird or embarrassing that's happened recently, let's get it off our chest. Does anybody have something that they would like to confess first and get off their chest, alleviate themselves?
I would love to because I am already turning red at my experience, and I'd love to just get it right off my chest
that
now.
Time before the podcast that you equated your mic to an erect penis?
Yes. I mean, no. What? It was so much more embarrassing than that.
Oh, wow. Let's get started.
So I started a new job this week, which is very exciting.
Is it still at Apple?
It is still at Apple. I got to work, and I realized that I left my water bottle at home, which if anybody knows me, it is like my third limb, or my, I guess I have, it would be my fifth limb, because I've got two arms and two legs, which is important. You know, why do you restart your day, go up to Starbucks? The person that was helping me at the cash register was the same person that, when I went to interview, directed me to the public restroom and also showed me where the store was. I go, hey, by the way, I interviewed for Apple a couple weeks ago, and you introduced me to the toilet, so thank you.
Hello, toilet.
And then I went, fuck me, I can never, ever come to the Starbucks again.
You introduced me to the toilet.
And I couldn't tell anyone about it, but it was horribly embarrassing.
As your host, I think that you should do 5 Hail Marys, and 3 Keenan Cools. So
I don't know what that means.
We put those in the podcast all the time. It's when Keenan said cool one time, and then we copied and pasted it like 50 times.
Cool.
Yeah, but am I supposed to sound like Keenan when I say cool?
Yeah, Luke, what does it sound like?
Cool.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I got to take my inhaler real quick. Does anybody else have anything they would like to get off their chest?
Yeah, I've got some confessions. I don't know if you remember this, Colin, but I remember it very vividly. The first time I ever watched Star Trek 2009, where Kirk like accidentally puts his hands on Uhura's boobs.
Yes, yep.
And I was just like, that's hilarious. I'm going to text Colin about it. So I opened my phone and I text you, and I'm just like, ha ha ha, he touched your boobies. That was all I said. That was all I said. Like, I didn't give you any context, like I was watching Star Trek or anything. And then you just go, what? And I was just like, oh, I'm watching Star Trek. And you're like, oh, that makes so much more sense. Like, yeah, it was hilarious. And then my most vivid Star Trek memory is that.
I'm going to say that you need to do... Fuck, what are other in-jokes on our podcast?
Give me a me joke.
What else do we do?
Are you sure I don't have to go 15
no-no-no-no-no-no's? No-no-no-no-no-no-no-no. All right.
I have
one story that involves both Lucas and Laura, because one week before today, Luke, Laura, and I went to see the tour for The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast.
It was in Brooklyn. It was in Brooklyn.
Luke and I don't know much about public transit, so we knew that the last train out...
He just gives up.
...was at 11:47. And I'm carrying a bunch of luggage from my trip to Texas. We are sprinting through Grand Central Terminal.
We knew it was the last train out because Luke's girlfriend, on lined paper, had written out instructions.
Which was adorable.
Like we were children.
It was really cute.
Okay, Colin, you are an adult.
I have a picture of it.
And we got to the track at 11:48. And the construction guy goes, the train's gone!
Yo, stop running. We're like, all right, dude.
And then we found out there was another train an hour later and everything was fine. Well, that actually circled back to Star Trek more than I thought. All right, well, I think with all of that out of the way, we can jump into what will be a very dense, very Trekkie summary. So,
shall we begin?
Is it end recording time?
No. Oh. So,
no.
All right. Star Trek is a long-standing sci-fi franchise established in 1966, comprised of 5 live-action TV shows and 13 feature films, and an animated series we're not talking about because it's not canon, and it's basically Space Scooby-Doo.
That's probably too many films.
Created by Gene Roddenberry, Star Trek is set a couple hundred years into the future, where humankind has united and overcome many social, technological barriers we face today. It is a nearly utopian vision, and each iteration of Star Trek follows members of Starfleet, the scientific and exploratory, and sometimes military, branch of the United Federation of Planets, furthering the goal of seeking out new life and new civilizations, boldly going where nobody has gone before. Now, to set the stage...
No one.
Unless you are talking about the original series, in which case he says, no man. Because 1966 was sexist as fuck.
UPC, bro?
Can you imagine Spock saying that? UPC, bro? And lifting his eyebrow? That'd be pretty fun.
In the Next Generation retrospective, Frakes got super excited about the no one from No Man. He's just like, the new PC.
So, to set the stage for our discussion, we're going to summarize the franchise by briefly describing each of its iterations, and I'm going to spotlight a specific episode or movie that I feel is either a good jumping on point or example for why that might be a good place to watch. And if you're interested in checking out Star Trek, pay attention to the spotlights. So we're going to jump in, starting in 1966 with Star Trek, the original series.
My mom was 6 years old.
Space. A final frontier.
I really hope my mom's not mad and just told everybody how old she is.
Oops. We'll bleep it out.
God, if my mom ever listened to this podcast, I would die of shame.
So, Star Trek was originally pitched by Gene Roddenberry as Wagon Train to the Stars, basically a space western, but it turned into...
I would watch that shit!
Yep, it turned into something much different. The budget was always a bit of a constraint, but what they ended up doing was creating sort of a space opera where each episode was its own sort of moral story. led by William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, and DeForest Kelly. That's where you get Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and Bones, three very iconic characters. And they sort of lead the group through a series of adventures, all of which will try to impart a lesson upon you, while maybe being based in some sort of scientific concepts. The big pioneering thing about this was it was very inclusive, is very representative, nice. And that was a big deal. You had a black woman, you had a Russian boy, you had a Japanese man, like, all on a bridge.
The boy?
My son! And
I'm a real boy!
The episode I wanted to spotlight for this series, if you check anything out, check out the episode Balance of Terror. Should be, I think, season 1, episode 11. The whole episode is about sort of racial tensions and mimicking the Cold War. And that is where we got our start. It got canceled 3 years in. It was syndicated in the 1970s, so a lot of people watched it that way. And in the 80s, some people were like, we should make some movies about this. Well, in 1979, a movie came out, and it was pretty shitty. But in 1982, a movie came out called Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, and everyone loved it. And because of that, in 1987, we got a show called Star Trek: The Next Generation. So Star Trek: The Next Generation ran from seven seasons from 87 to 94. Patrick Stewart plays Captain Picard. This show was a lot more utopian, got a little more political. It was a little less trying to make you, like, question your life with every single episode. It definitely was still very thoughtful. I think it was a little more fun. It was still that week-to-week sort of thing, you know, just new adventure every week, new people, new aliens and everything. The first two seasons, man, wow. I love Star Trek The Next Generation. Luke, Laura, I think you guys like Star Trek The Next Generation. I think you might also agree it should not have made it past the first season.
Probably not.
One of the best episodes is in the second season. That's about all you can say.
Mm-hmm. Yep. When I tell people, I say, watch the pilot just so you know some stuff. Watch Measure of a Man, which we talked about in the first episode of this podcast. But the next episode you should watch after that is season 3, episode 6, Booby Trap. Now, the reason I picked it is not it's...
Because it says boobies.
Because it says boobies. And remember when Pat texted me?
He touched her boobies.
And that's... And it was really just that moment coming back to me. I think it is the first episode of Next Generation that feels fun and has momentum. And then it just keeps doing that till the end of the show. So if you start at Booby Trap, you can just keep watching from there, and you're going to have a great time. The Next Generation, after it concluded, there was already another Star Trek series on the air. Deep Space Nine premiered in 1993, and instead of being set on an adventuring starship like The Next Generation, which I should also say is 100 years after the original series, it's set on a space station. So instead of having your adventure of the week, this show actually brought a much darker tone because there were people with more interpersonal conflict, which wasn't really present in the other series. There was a big war. There was really long story arcs that would last seasons at a time. And that was in the mid-90s when that was not a common thing. Star Trek Deep Space Nine is very polarizing. Laura and Luke, I know you've both watched Deep Space Nine. How do you compare this to Next Generation if you had to say it, like, real quick?
It's a different show. Next Generation is that week to week where you really just fall in love with watching the characters interact with each other. Deep Space Nine is much more intense, I would say, and it really tries to focus on the broader story of conflict and what it means to be interacting with other species that don't necessarily want to have anything to do with the Prime Directive.
The Prime Directive is a law in the Federation that says you cannot interfere with the development of other species, especially ones that haven't developed interstellar travel.
Deep Space Nine functions more like an embassy. They're not the dominant force there. So where in Starfleet, or as far as Earthlings are concerned, there is no interpersonal conflict because humans aren't motivated by money or status the way we think about it. The other races still are, and it's a part of their culture.
I agree. Deep Space Nine, I think, serves as probably the biggest deconstruction of that utopian idea, where Gene Roddenberry wanted to paint a world where everybody lives in harmony. Deep Space Nine kind of says, okay, but how is that still a flawed idea? And the episode I wanted to spotlight, this is my favorite episode of all of Star Trek.
He has a list. It's true.
Season 6, episode 19, In the Pale Moonlight. See,
front runner.
It shows a character grappling with a very serious moral issue for the sake of helping a lot of other people in a very kind of twisted way.
And if you want to look up anything about Star Trek ever, everybody else in the world of Star Trek will tell you.
It's the best episode of Star Trek. It's fucking amazing. I just watched, so all these Spotlight episodes, I went through and watched them today to get in the right headspace. Even though I was only half paying attention, it still, like, got my blood pumping. It's a good episode. Now, this brings us to the crown jewel of turds of Star Trek. There's a series called Voyager that happened.
Brutal.
God damn, I don't like Voyager.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Actually, if you look at kind of fan ratings, it's number two to Next Gen. Next Gen is definitely the most popular, but people love Voyager. Yeah. I can't stand it. Now, I should say, on the point of inclusivity and diversity, Deep Space Nine does have a black lead. Voyager has a female lead, and this show premiered in 1995. It's basically Next Gen 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
The whole concept of Voyager is this small ship gets flung to the other side of the galaxy, and they have to make their way back.
How exactly do they get flung?
There's an array.
She breaks the Prime Directive.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing where this stupid jellyfish thing called the Caretaker grabs him, whips him over, and Captain Janeway is like, no, we can't do it because it's a bad idea. And then they fucking break all the rules.
Not what she sounds like.
It's exactly what she sounds like.
Listen, I'm in the middle of watching Voyager right now. It is not what she sounds like.
No, Tuvok.
Every episode of Voyager, it goes just like this. We can't do that because the Prime Directive. By the way, we broke the Prime Directive getting here. Oh, shit, we need it. Tuvok, take their things.
Yes, exactly. No, exactly that. So I have problems with Voyager because I find it internally inconsistent. That said, you are going to find some great episodes here. This is a return to that adventuring week-to-week format. Some people love Janeway as a character. I don't. That's just me. But Voyager, I find this show starts kind of wonky and then slowly gets better as you go on. So the episode I wanted to spotlight is from season 5, I think episode 9 or 10. It's called Timeless. This isn't necessarily the best jumping on point, but it is very big in scope and big in idea.
Literally watching that episode right now, I'm in the middle of it.
I'm sorry, listeners that love Voyager. I don't.
There's a better episode. We'll talk about it later.
Cool.
There's one other final series called Enterprise. This is a prequel series. Airing from 2001 to 2005, this takes place, instead of 100 years after, like Voyager, DS9, and TNG, Enterprise takes place 100 years before the original series, so before that Prime Directive rule ever came into play, before there were ever a federation of planets, Starfleet was just humans trying to make ships, there were no rules, there was no, like, intergalactic government, and it's really about the development of humans to achieve these ideas that have been in all the other series. It's the first show since the original that got canceled, and so it only ran for 4 seasons, but like Deep Space Nine, Enterprise brings in some pretty long arcs down the road that really, really make it worth a watch.
Like that season 3 intro, though.
Enterprise's theme song is a theme song. Now,
is it a theme song?
We'll talk about the...
What is...
Oh, we'll get to that. The episode I wanted to spotlight is called Observer Effect. That is season 4.
Keep going.
That is season 4, episode 11.
Should we stop and let Pat listen to both songs?
Now, we are running out of time for this, so I'm going to blow through the Kelvin movies. In 2009, J.J. Abrams created a reboot series starring very pretty actors that a lot of people really like because they're pretty.
True.
And these movies didn't have quite the same, like, philosophical mindset as the TV shows, but they are very action-packed, very fun. In 2009, you have Star Trek, which was billed as a prequel, but it's actually something else. You have Star Trek Into Darkness, which plays off of Wrath of Khan, that other movie that I was talking about. And last year we got a movie for their 50th anniversary called Star Trek Beyond, which really feels a lot like that original series open adventuring fun format, but actually digs into the characters a bit. And if you're gonna watch one, just watch 2009 Star Trek. I think it's a great jumping on point for anybody interested in the franchise. And if you hate listening to me talk for 15 minutes straight, just watch that movie. Because he touches her boobies. The reason I want to talk about this is Discovery comes out in a couple of weeks, 2 days from this episode airing, and Discovery is going to explore the Klingon War. Klingons are an antagonistic villain, and we never got to see why they were so antagonistic. So we're actually going to see kind of like Deep Space Nine, that utopian ideology pitted against something militaristic. It's got like fucking Game of Thrones money coming at it. The visuals look insane.
Yeah, so insane it actually makes me nervous. We'll talk more.
Yes. I just want to talk about Star Trek because I'm enamored with this franchise. Its cogent presentation of betterment through application of rational thought, the use of polarized characters to deconstruct ideas. And also, I just like the ships. I think the ships are big and pretty and fun, and flying around those ships is great. This Star Trek special is a way to briefly reflect on what Trek has given us so far and where it may go in the future. So I'm going to take a break from talking. I'm going to turn it over to our reps. Let's hear what they like about Star Trek. All right, now we begin our domains section where each of our representatives will pick an example from Star Trek to talk about. We are going to begin with the only other Trekkie on the podcast's cast.
Tis I.
Ms. Laura. Now, I really liked to talk about Star Trek, so I'm...
Wait, can we ham-horn this? Because he said he wasn't going to take time.
I'm setting it up.
I'm giving you a hard time.
You're giving me a microphone time. So I like to talk about Star Trek. I'm going to try to butt out of these domains, and if I get like too in your face about it beyond like a quick little pipe in, yeah,
that's gonna happen.
Luke and Pat have an accountability system rigged to shut me the fuck down.
So I chose Star Trek The Next Generation because it is my favorite of the Star Treks.
Woo!
Like, I love my boyfriend, but I think I might love Star Trek more.
Wow!
Whoa!
Just saying.
Oh my god. Does Charles not play
kidding.
The trombone like Mr. Jonathan Frakes?
You know, he does have a trombone, but he hasn't played it for me. So maybe if he did, it would change my mind.
Play Nightbird!
Yeah, come on, guys. You were supposed to ham horn him.
That
was the only one talking.
That was necessary.
That was banter. Come on. That was banter.
Star Trek The Next Generation is just something like I really just believe in Picard. I believe he's the best captain.
Luke shakes his head no.
I find his characteristics the most inspiring. I would follow him into battle if I had to.
It's easy to see him because he's bald, so his head's really shiny. You'll never lose him.
I decided to, with Colin's help, talk about The Best of Both Worlds, which is a pretty well-known episode, I think, because that's the episode where Picard gets taken over by the Borg, and it's a really big deal.
The Borg are a cybernetic collective of life forms.
Colin.
That's necessary.
No, it's not, because I was getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I hammed myself.
The Enterprise gets a distress signal from a colony. So they go down to where the colony is, only to discover that it has been scooped out of existence. This is, in fact, the Borg.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships.
So the Borg are a big bad in the Star Trek franchise, but they are a cybernetic species that assimilate anything and everything that is around them that they can.
We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own.
But only if it's worthwhile. They don't suck up shit races.
That's true.
Wow.
That is true.
They're very elitist.
Yeah. Well, they just want to be better. So their whole thing is to search for perfection, which they do by becoming super fucking gross and creepy.
Resistance is futile.
Beauty standards.
So the Borg are the big bad. It's a huge deal that they're there. They fly in perfectly square ships.
Cube.
This one is square. It's a cube.
Yep.
It's perfectly square, Colin. There are no dimensions.
It's a two-dimensional ship.
Surprise. So this Borg ship approaches them, tractor beams them. They're all like, fuck, we can't get away from them because they have this incredible technology of all of the species. They escape into a nebula? when they come out it again, the Borg transport onto the ship and steal Captain Picard, which is a big deal.
The captain. We were unable to retrieve him, sir. The captain has been altered by the Borg.
Altered? He is a Borg.
And then Captain Picard is partially, although not fully assimilated, he still has both of his eyeballs, which is a big deal.
Because they're all robot-like.
The episode ends with Commander Riker, who has a really interesting storyline here, that he has refused multiple offers to become the captain of his own ship, becoming a field captain, and ordering
Mr. Worf
the ship to fire on the Borg cube,
fire,
which has Captain Picard in it, which is a big deal.
It was scary, and that fucking cliffhanger. That is one of the things that popularized having cliffhangers at the end of seasons of TV shows. Even the previous season of Star Trek, it was just kind of like
a nice resolution.
And then this one was Captain Riker. Yeah, I guess he is captain at the time. Is going to kill Captain Picard because he's become Borgified.
Yeah.
And he just goes fire, and then it cuts.
To be continued.
A significant amount of time, aka the summer vacation. And when they get back, it is the most anticlimactic because they're like, oh, it didn't do anything. So Riker got all pumped up to kill his, you know, friend. And then it's just like, nah, it didn't work. So there's still an episode here.
May I try to sum up the second episode in one sentence?
Do it.
Fine.
Go.
They got Picard back and deborgified him.
Well, they got Locutus back and they made him Picard again.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Yeah.
That's it.
They sent a bunch of the fleet to try to attack them, and the fleet got completely destroyed. So a lot of the strength of Starfleet was decimated in one attack. But yeah, they get Captain Picard back. They take out all his implants. He's a little fucked up because that was real bad and he remembers everything. But he's back and he is captain. He does not get any time off.
Later on, he goes back home and he kind of PTSDs out in front of his brother and cries.
That's true.
Yeah, he beats the shit out of his brother, who seems to be 40 years older than he is. But oh well. Weird casting choices. True. But yeah, no, fantastic two-parter. Iconic episodes. Thank you, Laura. So, Mr. Pat Brehm, you're talking about one of the Kelvin reboot movies. You're talking about Star Trek Into Darkness. Why are you talking about this when we're talking about Star Trek and you're not a huge Trekkie?
So, I know that Into Darkness is not really seen as the best one, but it's the one that I found the most interesting because the way the story pans out is it's really back and forth. It's like there's never a dull moment when Khan and Kirk did the whole like space jump from ship to ship, and that was super fucking cool, and I was super stressed because I was like, oh my god, is he gonna make it, 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 and then he made it.
That movie is fucking non-stop escalation of pace.
It's so good because then you're just like, all right, Khan's the bad guy, oh wait, no, Marcus is the bad guy, oh wait, Khan's still a bad guy, what the fuck is going on? It was pretty good.
Do you want to talk through the plot a little bit, like brief overview?
Well, first and foremost, starts out with Kirk fucking with the Prime Directive.
There has got to be an exception.
None. Such action violates the Prime Directive.
Shut up, Spock. We're trying to save you, damn it.
Ooh.
Ew.
He gets demoted to, I think, Commander.
Correct.
And then he's the first officer on, what's his name, Pike's ship now. Mm-hmm. Pike takes the Enterprise back. Then, in an emergency meeting where, oh, I should probably mention the fact that Khan blows up.
He's a library.
Yeah. There's a top secret branch of Starfleet designated Section 31.
Khan blows up the library and in an emergency meeting to determine what to do about it, because I don't even know his name is Khan yet. It's like John Harrison or something.
That's
like that.
That's exactly it.
John Harrison was a fiction created the moment I was awoken by your Admiral Marcus to help him advance his cause.
Hey, let's go. So, I didn't just watch this last night. fuck, where was I going? So, in an emergency meeting, Khan actually like uses a jump jet, attacks the meeting, killing Pike, killing a bunch of other people. So then Marcus puts Kirk back in control of the Enterprise, puts Spock back on a ship because they kicked Spock off earlier.
Marcus is the admiral who called the emergency meeting and is in charge of Starfleet.
They go to
Kronos.
Yeah, they go to find Khan because he teleported himself to Kronos, which is the Klingon.
Nope. Yep.
Yes, yes, nope. Laura. Yes, yep. Klingon. Yes.
I'm just saying, yep, nope, now.
He knows if we even go near Klingon space, it'd be all-out war.
All-out war with the Klingons is inevitable, Mr. Kirk.
They're warping in, and all of a sudden, the Enterprise, like, kind of gets knocked out of warp.
You get a flat tire and pull over on the side of the nebula.
Fuck, what do we do? It's 20 minutes to the planet. We gotta, like, get there. So what they do is they send Kirk, Spock, Uhura,
and two red shirts
down to find John Harrison. They were originally coming with torpedoes.
When you lock on to Harrison's position, you fire, you kill him, and you haul ass.
They decided that plan was like really gonna work, so they go in all sneaky like, try to find John Harrison, and in the process the Klingons find them.
Cool.
And then Uhura gets out of the ship and she's trying to talk to them because she can speak Klingon.
So let me speak Klingon.
So she's trying to talk to him and they're like, we don't really give a shit, we're still gonna kill you. And then John Harrison comes out of nowhere and he's just like with this like minigun thing, and he kills all the Klingons.
Pat is so fucking into this right now. I'm loving it. Pat is into darkness.
Ew.
So in the process of killing all them, they like confront with Kirk and everybody, and he's just like, how many torpedoes do you have in your ship?
I can give you 72.
I'm shaking my head at Colin.
When he tells him the number, he immediately surrenders and he's like, I give up, whatever. They go on the ship and Khan shows them that there are people inside. So he goes into the torpedoes and he's just like, yo, look, there are some people here. These are my people. I'm a superhuman.
My name is Khan.
My blood is cool. It, like, heals shit.
That's it.
He's just like, my blood heals shit. So then, while they're coming back with Khan, so Admiral Marcus shows up and he's like, what the fuck? You're supposed to die. Give me Khan. And he's just like, no, I'm not going to give you Khan because that's pretty fucked up. Marcus is like, if you don't give me Khan, I'm going to destroy you. And then Marcus's daughter is on the Enterprise and she's like, yo, dad, don't do that. And then he forcibly transports her from the Enterprise to the Vengeance, which is the ship he's in. And then he opens fire on them. But then... what?
You knew the name of the Vengeance. Nobody knows the name of the Vengeance.
Yeah.
I'm so proud right now.
So then he opens fire on the Enterprise. The Enterprise gets fucked. But in the process, Khan and Kirk go to the other ship.
What happens is as Khan, Kirk, and Scotty are infiltrating the Vengeance, Khan kills Marcus by squeezing his head like a watermelon.
Solid choice.
Just fucking, and the sound is disgusting. They don't show it, but the sound is gross. And then Khan negotiates with Spock and has one of the most fucking intense, like, threatening monologues I've ever seen.
And after every single person aboard your ship suffocates, I will walk over your cold corpses to recover my people.
And then beams Kirk back to the brig on the Enterprise and says, yeah.
No ship should go down without her captain.
Without its captain, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So then... they, like, mutually destroy each other, and as they're falling into Earth's atmosphere, Khan is aiming towards San Francisco to destroy Starfleet, and then Kirk finds his way to the reactor, but the radiation is killing him, and they can't get him out, or else they're all gonna die. Khan is still alive, and he runs away, so Spock goes after him. I think Spock talked to old Spock.
Leonard Nimoy's final appearance in Star Trek.
Mm.
He goes to try to kill Khan, and then Uhura's like, wait, stop, we can use his blood to save Kirk. And they save Kirk! Woo!
Yay!
With magic blood.
Super blood, as they call it in the movie. Great science fiction right there. You can see why Trekkies love
so
it.
Specific.
I actually really enjoy Into Darkness. I think it's got its flaws for sure. It's super fun.
I like Into Darkness.
Thank you, Patrick. We actually only went over by like a minute. I'm pretty happy with this. Well done, sir. We're going to transition to our guest. Mr. Lucas Williams is talking about the prequel series Enterprise.
Luke.
Enterprise is important. And if you watch the Kelvin movies, there's a bunch of shit from Enterprise. It's dope. But Luke, hi, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I just fell down in your living
room. You did.
I've been sitting Indian style on your floor and you were like, you need headphones. So I got up too excited to go get them and I fell down.
My whole apartment shook.
And your roommate came out and he knows we're recording a podcast and he just like put his arms up like worried about what happened, but respecting the sound discipline that we're trying to work on here.
That's a good roommate.
I love the episode you're talking about. Let's talk about it.
I'm doing Enterprise. I picked that episode called Similitude. One thing that's different about Enterprise, they don't have the Prime Directive to work on. This is Earth's first trek into the stars.
Oh, that's why they call it that.
And you people, you're all astronauts on some kind of Star Trek.
That's why they call it that. They don't have rules for how to deal with certain things. So in every other Star Trek universe so far, they can always like look at a decision and be impartial about it because they go, we have these rules, we have this Prime Directive. He should have just said, like, we need a Prime Directive and just called at the end.
And like, just like, we need a Prime Directive, look at the camera, cut to credits.
That'd be some Deadpool type shit right there.
The adventure of this week is shit's going down. They need to get back to Earth, like, now. One of the characters, he's the main engineer on the ship. They put, like, a time constraint on it because the ship is going to get totally fucked by this weird magnetic cloud that's, like, putting poopy all over the ship.
I can't let that happen.
It looks exactly like it!
It's, like, weird magnetic poopy
that's poopy. Glomming onto the ship over
poopy.
Time.
Not poop, poopy.
They can't.
Watch the episode, you'll agree.
Their main engineer, their Scotty, their Geordi, has been incapacitated, and it's something that has to do with brain matter, and they can't regrow it. Like, they have some techniques, but, like, basically, they can graft it. The Dr. Phlox, who's a Denobulan, who's one of the best alien races in Star Trek.
He's pretty good, true.
So they try to graft it by using what I would describe as a car wash sponge in a vat of urine.
They take a desert space maggot fetus and put some of...
Oh my.
What the Phlox does, he has all this crazy medical stuff. Trip is the character who's been incapacitated.
I must complete this mission. And to do that, I need Trip.
They're like, we're going to put some of his DNA. They don't specify which part of the DNA they use, but they impregnate this disgusting blob. It makes a cell for me, usually, but right now we can put some of Trip's DNA in here, and it'll grow a Trip. Like, it has to grow up. Like, they can't leave it. They can't just leave it, like, in a comatose state. Like, it has to develop. So they have this kid, and it's, like, I think it's, like, 2 weeks or something. It'll be at Trip's natural age. So they have to wait until he's at the age developmentally. So it'll be a match for Trip.
By that time, your neural tissue won't be compatible with Trip's anymore. He'll die.
I know.
I don't want to spend too... I'm spending
too
much
time. No, it's at this point, you've set the stage, because the rest of the episode is just... him being a person.
The decision that has to be made is the living guy is there. He's talking to them. They're getting to know him. They name him Sim. They give him a name.
Doesn't he even have some of his memories?
They do some Assassin's Creed style genetic memory bullshit so he remembers Trip stuff as well as his own.
What's driving me crazy is I don't know if these feelings are mine.
So he, at one point, he's like, well, what if I want to live?
I'll take whatever steps necessary to save him. Even if it means killing me. Even if it means killing you.
Sim decides on his own that his destiny is to save Trip and lets himself be slaughtered.
You're not a murderer. Don't make me one.
So I am actually going to, oddly enough, say something cool about Voyager here.
Fuck.
They totally puss out where Voyager didn't. There's an episode in Voyager called Tuvix.
Which I almost talked about.
Yeah.
two of the main characters in that show get stuck together.
Transporter accident, as it happens.
Janeway, who's awful, but makes a totally boss decision, and she makes the decision for them to kill this individual and separate them back into their pieces, which is the brave decision.
Janeway's brave, but she ain't smart.
In defense of Archer, she had the prime directive. She has all these rules. And in a lot of other aspects or different franchises in Star Trek, they can call up and be like, hey, Admiralty, like, what's going on here? What should I do? We need to ask for guidance. But I find Enterprise the most interesting series because they don't have that and they're making everything up as they go.
It makes the moral issues a bit more stressful. And that whole similitude thing with that fucking garbage sponge fetus thing that turns into a person... it's basically like a stem cell commentary. It's right. Like a weird hybrid between talking about stem cells and abortion, like hot button topics in 2003, especially.
There's a bug.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
That's what Star Trek does, though. They mask topical issues in focused slice.
But what if they were aliens?
Whatever's happening now, and like, I think that's what Discovery is going to be, is they're going to talk about today's issues but through the lens of Star Trek and really boil things down to some basics. So that's what I'm looking forward to in the next for Discovery. Yeah.
Lucas, thank you very much for discussing one of my very favorite episodes. Now that I think we know where we all stand on this franchise, we're going to move into the discussion. And I hope that you're all still sticking around. Please listen. I love Star Trek. I've wanted to do this episode since day one. Let's stop recording.
Oh my.
You got to do Measure of Man on the first episode.
So now that we have gotten through our domains, so the discussion, this is going to be where we just kind of openly talk about the topic, and it is going to be laser focused on Star Trek. Do any of you have things that you want to say, things that jump out at you about this franchise?
Oh, indeed I do.
Voyager sucks.
Voyager is not that bad. That's also, I enjoyed Year of Hell parts 1 and 2.
Year of Hell is a good two-parter.
It's a really good two-parter.
There are good episodes in Voyager.
Not the point I was going to make, though.
Okay, cool. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about Best of Both Worlds.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a really interesting perspective that they take, because so much of the time Next Generation is talking about this utopian world where, like, yes, they run into problems that they have to solve, but so often it's really more like solving a cultural difference and not necessarily, or like a scientific problem and not necessarily solving like a moral issue. And I think that that leads it to be, even though some of the consequences are pretty major, it leads to be like a fairly light TV show that points to some interesting things. But Best of Both Worlds talks about what jobs mean in a utopian world.
Yeah.
What happens when you run into a species that will never, yeah, ever like be a positive role, or will only try to destroy you, and how do you handle that?
And that, because in Best of Both Worlds, the character in the show you're focusing most on is Riker, the first officer. Yes. But then you have Shelby, and she is gunning for his job the whole time.
You do an end run around me again, I'll snap you back so hard you'll think you're a first-year cadet again.
When there's no...
She's super hungry.
No monetary compensation. She literally says in the episode...
May I speak frankly, sir?
By all means.
You're in my way.
Really? How terrible.
And I think it was really interesting because, like, what does that mean when there is no... Like, money and power even aren't really a thing. I guess power is more than money for sure, because obviously people are trying to gain rank. But,
yeah,
you know, Riker has this really interesting conversation with another character, Deanna Troi, who he's very close with. And he's just sitting there like, what am I doing? Like, why have I just been the second officer or the first officer on the ship for so long when I've been offered three commands? And I think it makes a really interesting point about, like, what is your motivation in life? Like, are you just going for the captain's chair? Are you going for something that you feel fulfilled in and makes you really happy? And what does that mean in a utopian world?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I always thought Riker's intentions were very clear. He didn't want to just be a captain. He wants to be captain of the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, like, he doesn't have the same, he's not as begrudging about it, but this girl's like, you're in my way. In the same way, Patrick Stewart has been in his way. Captain Picard has been in his way for what he wants. He specifically wants to be captain of the Enterprise, and that's not going to happen until either Jean-Luc moves up or out.
If you can't make the big decisions, Commander, I suggest you make room for someone who can.
Yeah, and it never seems like, it never feels like Jean-Luc is in his way, though. Like, it always seems like he is pushing himself to be, like, the best first officer that he can on a ship that he really loves with the people that he really wants to work with. And I never get the impression that he's like, oh, Captain Picard, like, get up, get out. Mm-hmm. Why fight for it if it's going to happen eventually?
This actually, in my mind, connects to Into Darkness a little bit, because in Into Darkness, one of the two major villains you've got is Admiral Marcus. The idea of money is not a thing in the Next Generation. In human society, it's gone. There is no money in the Federation.
Except for scarves.
And if you look at the original series, they discuss credits. So in the time of Into Darkness, technically there's money, but it's not discussed. But Admiral Marcus, the whole movie, he's not really looking for explicitly power. He's looking to start a war
with the Klingons
and lead the war. And I don't remember all the specific dialogue, but like, his motivation is also not money, even though there is money. So it's like, Pat, do you have like any commentary on like maybe what power does to him in that situation?
He's using it a little bit to cover his ass for the whole superhuman shit that he did to Khan and all the other ones, because in the process he's planning on destroying everybody while also starting a war with the Klingons, because right now, like, he's one of the Starfleet people who is super into, like, military shit rather than, like, being a science officer.
Right.
He sees this as a way to eradicate one of the biggest threats to humanity, I suppose.
Yeah.
And in the process, cover his ass.
War is coming!
He wants that war glory, though. He not only wants to save Earth from that threat, he wants to be the one to do it.
And who is gonna lead us? You? If I'm not in charge, our entire way of life is decimated.
Yeah, he's not doing it out of the kindness of his heart. He's doing it because he wants to go back to, like, praise and, like, power and glory.
Yeah.
He wants to be remembered throughout history as the Starfleet Admiral who, like, eliminated the great Klingon threat.
Yeah, which is probably part of why a lot of Trekkies don't love Into Darkness, is because it looks at those things that aren't part of the core ideology. But I love it as a juxtaposition. Like, and looking at, there are so many examples in the Next Generation shows, Next Gen, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, about people trying to advance their ranks.
Yeah, and isn't there a whole episode where one of the Admiral, there's like a secret conspiracy in the Admiralty to try to destroy...
Well, there's an episode called Conspiracy in Next Generation.
Is that the one where the bugs come out of his mouth?
Yeah, where the bugs are controlling the Admirals.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
There was no bug controlling Admiral Marcus.
Seven. Lizard people! I don't understand how people can not like Into Darkness. When one of the very first scenes when Bones and Kirk get back on the Enterprise when it's still submerged and like they come out of the door, Scotty, the first thing is just like, do you have any idea what the salt water is going to do to our ship? And it's just like, dude, Spock is still in the volcano and all you care about is rust. Like, it was hilarious.
Space rust. Now, Into Darkness is funny. One of the questions I do want to ask is, Star Trek often does tell stories with heavy social commentary. Similitude is stem cells and shit. Into Darkness, most people don't make the connection. It's a 9/11 story. It's about domestic terrorism and how stuff like that happens. And lots of these current issues get this Trek treatment. I just kind of want like your guys' idea on maybe how well that's realized. Like,
I think so.
I think so too.
The one that keeps jumping out at me is the co-gender episode.
There's a species with a third gender that has no rights.
The more interesting piece on that was the Starfleet folks just not being, they had to try so hard not to be offensive, like, how do we address you, what are your pronouns, and it says a lot about people today with transgender folks. Like, nobody wants to be offensive, and everybody, depending on the individual you're talking to, could have a completely different set of rules, and you could be coming at it from a completely understanding place as you as an individual, but come off offensive. But that's, I identify with that struggle for that episode.
Really? How terrible for you.
That's a different episode than the one where there was a species that had no gender at all, and it was because they essentially brainwashed anyone that felt more or less male or female, right? Because that is a very similar feeling episode.
Cogenitor is a season 2 episode of Enterprise. What you're talking about is The Outcast, which is like a season 4 or 5 episode of The Next Generation.
I couldn't quite remember where it came from.
Riker treated that alien like a lady.
Yep.
He did, yes. She liked it.
Pat, you look like you had an answer to like the social commentary question.
I think the movies don't really put it as in your face, but there are some like small nuances that you can maybe extrapolate. Like, for instance, in Into Darkness, one of the first things we see is Mickey from Doctor Who.
Doctor Who!
Has a daughter in the hospital, and he's like racking his brain trying to figure out what he's going to do. And that's where we first see Khan/John Harrison come into play, saying that he can fix his daughter. And in exchange, he wants him to go.
I can save her.
In return, he wants him to go blow up the library or whatever. So that could be seen as like modern day healthcare issues where people like would do anything to be able to save their kids and like provide proper healthcare. Yeah. But it's not really that big. Like, I guess you could look at Khan being a terrorist as another like modern problem that we see a lot in the world. But like, nobody's going to a different planet to really track him down.
Yeah.
Find out that the terrorist is actually set up by the a government official.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they are. We just don't know about it yet.
Yeah. And that's why I think it was a pretty multi-layered story. It has.
I just don't think it was the main point. Like in the in the shows, it seems like that's way more like what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And in the movies, it's more just like a tiny sub thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very important point on that.
Please.
Which is that I'm very nervous about Discovery, because I feel like everything that I've seen about it is more towards the movies than the show, and I think having that social commentary in the show is so important, and I'm nervous about the TV show Discovery not having that, because they're so focused on the 2009 reboot audience that I feel like I'm afraid they're gonna start trying to like write shows for them and not necessarily the original Trekkies who are interested in that kind of like inspection of the human condition and you know, the moral issues of today.
I want the adventure of the week. I do. That's what I want out of Star Trek. Like, I go to the movies for one reason, and I respect the movies as their own thing. But as a TV series from Star Trek, I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you give it to me. I want the adventure of the week. I want things to be pulled apart and examined and make me think.
Not channel. What network is putting
CBS?
CBS All Access, which is going to be it's a streaming service. Because of that, they are aiming for more of that long form Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad style storytelling, which makes me worry not so much that we'll lose the morality, but we might lose that adventure of the week. The thing is, if you look at Deep Space Nine and Enterprise, they managed to have season-long stories with Adventures of the Week peppered in, but this, I don't know if it's going to quite have that.
Well, do you know, like, any past projects that the writers have worked on or anything?
Yes.
So. Yeah, actually, Colin tries to make me feel better when he says
Oh, yes. So, actually, one of the executive producers and writers, Alex Kurtzman, wrote Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, so some people are comforted by that. The person who was originally the showrunner, the person who created the show but had to leave because he was working on American Gods, is a man named Brian Fuller, who is known for, well, American Gods, as well as Pushing Daisies and Hannibal, who got his start writing for Deep Space Nine and Voyager. Timeless, the episode I mentioned to you earlier for Voyager, was script edited by Brian Fuller, and he created this new show. He says now that American Gods is done, he might try to come back for season two if CBS will let him. And you also have someone named Joe Manosky, who wrote some of the best episodes of Star Trek, including Darmok, which is a legendary episode of The Next Generation that talks about language.
Nice.
So I think we are going to get the morals. And actually for Discovery, there are some trailers. Like one has the main character, Michael, and she says, like, we are on a mission of peace, blah, blah, blah. It's just her iterating Star Trek's thing. And then there's another video from the main villain, who's a Klingon named Tukumva. I love that name. It's so fun to say. Who's saying, like, we're about war and we need to reclaim Klingon stuff. So they are going to clearly pit them against each other. I think it's going to do some Into Darkness-y shit with that Section 31 Black Ops.
I totally glazed over the Scotty part of the fucking movie, where he goes to Jupiter.
I loved Scotty so much.
Oh, yeah. Scotty was a lot of fun in Into Darkness. He was so good. He got a lot to do.
And his little friend.
Keen, sir.
For this discussion, God, I could go on to this forever. We have about 4 minutes left, so I want to ask one last question of each of you. What is your least favorite example of Star Trek?
Episode or series?
Episode, series, moment, idea, whatever. Anything.
If we're doing a flash round where I can't think about it, I'm so sorry, Luke. Enterprise. It wasn't my favorite. It did get good. I don't love it.
Wow, Luke, that is a big middle finger.
That being said, I've actually never watched the original series because I can't quite get past the cheese.
Yep.
But I saw a really good episode while I was on vacation, so I may give it a shot. But Enterprise, I think, is my least favorite.
Yeah, it's original series definitely got a lot more, like, Twilight Zone-y, mostly because it was around the same time as the Twilight Zone, but much more adventure of the week, much less continuity, zero character development.
Yeah, and the character development is really what I love, and I feel like they give that to you in Next Gen, which is why it's my favorite.
That's totally fair. I'll give that to you. Mr. Patrick Brem, I know that your least favorite thing about Star Trek might be me talking about it all the time, so let's take that off the table. What's your least favorite thing about Star Trek, just your experience?
My least favorite thing was in Star Trek Beyond when they launched the fucking ship out of the mountain and it's free-falling. And then at the last minute, it just fucking pulls up. I, like, did some mental math. That
yo, you didn't do at mental math. Up. You pulled out your fucking phone calculator in the theater next to me, and as soon as we cleared the theater, you were like, bullshit, G-Force would have killed him.
That's fantastic.
Also, you're a rocket scientist.
I am. They're supposed to be rocket scientists, are they not?
Yeah, he's fair. All right, so
can I say my favorite thing, though?
Yeah, you totally can.
Can I say my favorite thing really quick?
Yeah.
There's, like, after Khan initially goes up to Mickey's character, who I don't know his name, because, like,
his name is never said in the movie, I forgot it.
Yeah, so after he introduces himself there, there's, like, a solid maybe 2 to 5 minutes, I'm really bad at estimating that shit, of no words being spoken between them.
Yep.
And you just, like, watch the plot play out. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, the saddest thing ever because you can see the pain in Mickey's eyes.
Yep.
But no words are said, and it's one of the most, like, crazy moments. Like,
one of my favorite things about that movie is actually, so J.J. Abrams loves to move the camera. Yeah. There is a 37-second still shot. No movement, no focus adjustment, nothing. Just still shot on Cumberbatch's face when he's giving a speech as Khan. That is a fucking testament to how amazing Benedict Cumberbatch does, even if people don't like his casting.
No, I love him in everything.
I thought it was great.
He got J.J. Abrams to calm down. People don't like his casting because of the race.
Okay, but, like, the way he delivered the line, no ship should go out without his captain, without his captain, I was just like, oh, shit.
No, yeah, that's intense, though. I will walk over your cold corpses. I'm like, oh, my corpse is cold now, Jesus.
Yeah. I'm rock hard at the same time.
All right, Luke, real quick before we wrap up our discussion, least favorite thing about Star Trek?
Colin, can you guess it? It's an episode. It's an episode.
Is it Threshold?
Nope, no. Sub Rosa.
Jesus.
What's wrong
Christ.
With Sub Rosa? Explain it to me.
It's the worst part of Star Trek.
I can't wait for you to listen to the greatest gen of it.
God.
And I'm not going after this because Laura took a shit on my favorite Star Trek. This is the worst episode of Star Trek.
I mean, Sub Rosa is pretty bad.
It's in The Next Generation.
The unexplainable space Scottish.
Yes.
Who the doctor goes down.
Quite literally.
She gets fucked by a Scottish space ghost on planet Scotland.
Gates McFadden's character goes down to her grandma's funeral and finds a candle that contains a Scottish ghost that used to fuck her grandma, but then fucks her. And then... Mm-hmm.
I read a particularly erotic section of my grandma's journal. Ooh, tell me more.
Stop it.
Oh my God.
And she's like totally fine with it. And like, she's like, I'm going to stay here and get fucked by this ghost that comes out of a candle that used to bang my grandma. And then it just like falls apart at the end.
That's really funny.
It's a really bad episode.
I don't know what they were going for. Like what they were like.
Any chance there was a writer's strike around then?
that was an episode directed by Jonathan Frakes too. And he's excellent. Ugh. So I
yeah.
Think
and it was in the last writing. Season where all the yeah. bugs should have been kept out. I don't know why the Scottish are on a different planet.
You kind of give her the candle.
It's so bad.
They didn't even have like the moment where like Geordi or Data were like, oh, this is this kind of weird alien or some crazy technology. Like, it's a candle. A man comes out of it. He used to fuck your grandma, and now he fucks you.
So on a slightly unrelated note, there's a Counter-Strike professional player named Sub Rosa, and everybody thought he was a cheater. And I still think he's a cheater, but like, I don't know why he would name himself after a shitty episode.
It's a phrase. It's not just Star Trek. So I just want to end by saying my least favorite thing in Star Trek. Everything I've said today, I think you should watch. Go watch those Spotlight episodes. If you are watching Voyager against all my recommendations,
it's really pretty good.
Season 2, episode 15.
Enjoyable.
Threshold. Do not watch Threshold, where they break a fundamental rule of Star Trek, hit warp 10, two of the characters evolve into newts overnight, elope
That's
to
fair.
A planet, create a new species by having newt babies on the planet, and then the doctor kidnaps them, turns them into humans again, and leaves the fucking new human newt baby species on the planet with no concern for ecological repercussions or explanation as to why it happened. It's a bad episode. Threshold sucks.
True.
I hate it.
I forgot about that episode.
It's
almost
so
as bad as Sub Rosa.
It's so bad. That's gonna wrap up our discussion. I do want to say thank you for everybody listening to this. I want to say I'm sorry for anybody who like doesn't watch Star Trek and is just not enjoying this episode.
I don't think they made it this far. I think they probably like went a little bit and then just went, fuck this.
Yeah, they skipped it.
Yep. Well, that's the beauty of this format. You don't have to listen to every episode, and it's nice that way.
But our voices are beautiful.
All right, so we are finally going to move into the ratings section. I'm going to try and move this guy right along. So the ratings section is where we go over everything we talked about, and I have the representatives rate the topic on a 1-5 scale. And I'm going to have you guys rate this on a scale of 1-5 pips.
Oh, okay.
Pips are little nubbin things that they wear on uniforms to indicate their rank. And pips only go up to 4. So if you get 5, you are super special. What do you think of Star Trek? 1-5.
This is a very hard question for me because I have to rate. So what I'm going to do is rate my enjoyment of Star Trek. So my enjoyment of Star Trek is 5 pips.
Damn.
That being said, because I love Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
there are some truly horrific things that happen in all of the series.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the movies. Like, I can't objectively say that it is a perfect show by any means, because it is very much not. But that doesn't change the fact that it's something that's been in my life for a very long time. I think it's probably shaped the way I think about situations and the way that I view the world and the person that I am today. And it's something that I really love and continue to love. So that being said, I have to rate it 5 pips.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Making up for the terrible score I got on Sonic the Hedgehog. Let's keep this streak rolling.
Nothing's ever going to be that bad again.
Wizards was. Wizards and Sonic are tied for the lowest.
I gave it a 0.5.
I don't think Wizards deserves to even be, like, considered an episode at this point.
All right. Well, I'm already off to a better stop. Pat, what do you think about Star Trek as a casual Star Trek observer?
As a casual observer, my experience is only the three, right?
Yep.
Three movies?
Yep.
Yeah, three movies and a couple episodes of the original series. Mm. And I must say that I have to give this like a four
picks. Wow.
So
it's better than I thought.
Really, really enjoy the movies, aside for like a few things and beyond. I haven't really given Deep Space Nine a chance. I feel like I'd like Deep Space Nine. I feel like I would like The Next Generation if I like tried. Mm-hmm. But I just haven't given it a fair shot. And seeing all of the influence that Star Trek has had on like geek and nerd culture and on just like future projects that I enjoy now, like it's pretty hard to deny that Star Trek is very influential. Mm. My personal enjoyment might be lower than most, but I feel like it still deserves a very good score of 4.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Mr. Lucas, our fine guest today, what would you rate Star Trek? 1 out of 5. Generally, whatever you want to classify it as.
Generally.
So I just want to say to Patrick, if you don't have the urge to digest and consume all of Star Trek, and you're going to watch those two series, just for your personal enjoyment, Deep Space Nine started season 4. You don't need the first 3 seasons.
That's true. That's how Luke watched it. I told him, start season 4, and he fucking loved it.
The Next Generation, watch Measure of a Man, and then start at season 3. And then you'll be good.
True.
But the thing is, when I started, I might think that, hey, maybe I want to digest it all.
Yeah, and
well,
then
go back later if you want, but then you won't.
At that point, you'll have the tolerance to deal with how unbelievably bad it gets.
Yeah, like I've watched the whole series through a couple times.
I don't think I'll ever make it through the original series.
Original series is hard for me because of the music, but anyway.
Yeah. It's like a third good, the original
series. It's
hard
for me because of Shatner.
But
that's fair. It.
All right, so Luke, what's your...
Sorry about that. Star Trek as a whole. I'm definitely going to give it 5, and it's not just because I'm excited to be on a podcast talking about Star Trek. There's a lot of bad things about Star Trek, but something else that Star Trek does for me as a person is I get to bond with my friends about it and listen to podcasts about it. And the best part, one of the best parts of Star Trek, and it comes from the bad episodes, is those are the funniest things to talk about. And those are the funniest things to listen to in podcast form or in any other form.
Greatest Generation.
The huge gaping mistakes that Star Trek has made are the things that bring Trekkies the closest together, because we can talk about how awful it is together.
That reminds me, Star Trek is very human. Like, there are so many great aspects and so many horrible things that happen. Like, that's just such a human thing. Everyone makes terrible, terrible mistakes, but everyone has, like, greatness in them. And I think the show is a very human, like, thing. It's just a human entity that is this huge franchise now.
I love it. It's a beautiful thing. All right, well, now we get to talk about how well you guys did today. Now, I am going to
told the Starbucks barista that thank you for introducing me to the bathroom, so I'm going to go with I did pretty bad.
I cut my finger open trying to cut an avocado.
With two knives.
With two knives. I wasn't deterred by the first knife. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this avocado my bitch. And then it made me its bitch. So...
All right. So I'm going to award the person who I think best discussed Star Trek today, the Golden Prime Directive.
Jeff, have fun drawing that.
How do you look at a Prime Directive?
So,
it's
because
not a plaque.
It's just like a piece of paper with the fucking printout.
Since that idea is at the core of a lot of Star Trek's exploratory ventures, I feel like it is pretty emblematic to give that to somebody. And I am going to give that to Mr. Patrick Brem.
What?!
Wow, that was loud.
No way.
Because...
Come on, you're lying.
No, I'm honestly really serious about it, because when we were discussing this, I think I had expectations for how everybody was going to participate, but your engagement around the things you were talking about was exciting, and that's kind of what I like to see when people discuss things on this show. I like to see that excitement and that engagement more so than the encyclopedic knowledge, which is why I think I sometimes lose out on gold stars, as I'll come to the table prepared with a whole book of notes, but I'm just reading out of a fucking book, and you're over there being like, yo, fucking Khan and Marcus, they like, big ship over there, what the hell's going on? And I'm like, that, you know what, that, I had a lot of fun listening to you. So that is why.
It's all about the charisma, man.
That is why you get the Golden Prime Directive. But even though you get that, I know that once this podcast is over, Luke, Laura, and I are going to go back to talking about Star Trek all the fucking time. And I cherish that bond.
Well,
so thank you.
Whenever I start watching, I'll be sure to include y'all.
Please,
yeah, do it.
Please do. So that about wraps it up. I want to say thank you for everybody who listened. I want to say thank you for to Pat for feigning engagement while we talked about stuff.
I didn't feign the engagement. I was engaged when I was actually talking.
But and thank you to Luke for joining us. I know Luke is actually a pretty avid supporter of the podcast. He's left a review, which is nice. And basically what I want to end on here is saying we really appreciate those of you who do listen, even when these episodes get way nerdier than normal
and way too long.
That's why geek is in our title. If you wanted to reach out to us or anything like that, you can follow us online at Geeking Program on Twitter and Facebook. We are reachable at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. We have a website, commongeekingprogram.com, where we're actually starting to do some other stuff, like some video game stuff, some Let's Plays, some streams. So we're going to start posting some stuff there and on Facebook.
Hell yeah.
But if you just want to listen to the podcast, if you like stuff like this, well, clearly you already know where to find us. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play,
SoundCloud.
And SoundCloud. And if you leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, that actually helps the visibility of our podcast. And I'm going to do kind of the thing that our other host, Eddie, has been doing. If you leave a review, I'll be sure to read it out, give you a nice shout-out.
A spicy review.
Ideally,
it's got to be spicy.
5 pips out of 5. Going to leave.
Don't try to force the narrative.
Going to shout that out on another episode. That said, this has been a very long episode.
I'm so sleepy.
Laura, I'm going to let you get to sleep. Luke, I'm going to let you away from my cats. Pat, I'll play Destiny with you 1 week from today. Listeners, thank you. We love you.
Don't I have to say what the next episode is about?
Oh, right. Oh, you're the one hosting, aren't you?
All right.
Fantastic.
Let me just really quick. The next episode, we're going to be talking about Super Smash Bros. Melee and how unintended, like, game, not bugs necessarily, but like game mechanics and things that the devs didn't really intend to happen, how those can actually like make the game either better or more popular or just like different. So
snazzy.
Cool. It's gonna be cool.
Awesome. Look forward to hearing that. You can check that out 1 week from today. So that should be September 29th. And for those of you who are into Star Trek, in 2 days, September 24th, free advertisement for Star Trek Discovery. Give it a watch. We'll talk about it. Tweet at me. I'm at Sonic Colin K. Find me on the website. I want to talk to everyone about Star Trek all the time. Thank you all for listening.
True. He does.
I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Live long and prosper.
And may the force be with
you. Fuck you! This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by me, Colin Ketchin. I was joined by Laura Kramer, Patrick Brem, and Lucas Williams. Thank you for being our guest. This episode is brought to you by headphones, used and recommended by 3 out of 4 podcasters, and really noticeable when one person doesn't use them. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, and original music by me. Even more this time! Now in a week, Patrick will be back hosting an episode about Super Smash Bros. And on the topic of games, we're doing some Let's Plays and streams, so check out our Facebook page to learn more about those. In the meantime, I just want to say hope to see you next week, and thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this.
I'd just like to interject that while you were talking about Star Trek 2009, I listened to the Enterprise theme song.
Which one?
There are two. Did it start with like a little light acoustic guitar, or did it start with like a Yamaha keyboard loop?
I think it was an acoustic guitar.
Oh, it gets better. It's the same song, but it's a power rock ballad.
That sounds a lot better. It's honestly. I was hoping it was gonna be like Firefly-esque, but then it was just I've got faith. And I was just no thanks. No one's
gonna bend or break. Instead of all the fucking, like, big sweeping orchestral songs they do, they picked a song from the movie Patch Adams. Like, fuck you.
I mean, Patch Adams is a good movie, but I just don't think it's very Star Trek-y, you know?
Now, Laura, do the rock verse.
It's been a long time!